Don't you love that video from Easter Sunday with that beautiful dancing and just the freedom that we have? I think that's what we'd like to talk about this morning is the freedom that God wants to give us, to really release us and let us find joy like we've never known it before. Today we're in our final Sunday talking about how to pray like Jesus. And what's very interesting is you kind of think about how your prayer life progresses, you know, our talking to God. A great thing about being a grandparent is now that we have two grandchildren, we're kind of watching these little progressions as they get older. Because usually when we're younger in life, what do? We're very much asking for things. You know, we need to eat, we want this toy, we want these things, we want to be, you know, we want all of our needs to be met with all of these things. But there's kind of a developmental process that goes on. I think that God allows us, when we just start to get to know Him, He encourages us to ask Him, to ask for what we need, to you know, ask for small things and things that are urgent for us. And when we do that, He responds and responds to us. But He wants us to continue to grow. I mean, there's nothing harder, I think, for a parent. You've been giving your child everything he wants and she wants, and then somehow you get to age 15 and you kind of think, I feel like I'm like an ATM here, you know? Or I feel like our relationship, I've become just a vending machine. You know, my son and daughter knows how to come up and push my buttons and get what they want from me. Well, we're glad to give to our kids, but we want to give more than just the possessions that we have. We want to pour our life into them and let their life be shared with us in all these ways. And so God, I think, does the same thing. He wants us to get to know Him better. Now, there's no criticism here. I think God knows that sometimes we ask, we beg, we pout when we don't get what we want, we get disappointed. But God, listen, we're just in process. We're just learning how to really put our faith in Him. So like a child growing up, you know, we need to learn to pray and to become more and more mature, to become more and more closer and closer to what God wants us to be. So, you know, this morning we're going to talk about what we call a prayer of relinquishment. Relinquish is to let go of something. You've heard the phrase, let go and let God. How many of you have heard that phrase, right? You kind of wonder, what does all that mean? It means that we need to let go of the things that we're trying to control and hold on to, the things that we think are going to make our life safe and secure, make us special. And we need to let God, we need to give God permission to come and fill ourselves with Him. So that we're not just saying, okay, God, I need a sunny day. God, I need a parking place. God, I need a solution. I need a job. I need all these things. But that we would do more than just be asking God for what we need, but that we would get to know Him. And I think really that's really the primary goal. That what God has given us in His Word, what He's done in terms of sending His Son to be here with us, His primary goal is He wants to know us. He wants to be connected to us. He wants this, He wants His will to be part of our will. He wants our will to be part of His will. He wants us to be on the same page, to be walking together. And to be that we would be filled with who He is and what's going on. And so, as you've heard this morning, how many songs did we sing about surrender this morning, right? Surrender is really the ultimate goal. It's the ultimate destination for us. What God wants us to do is to surrender ourselves to Him. And to be connected to Him. That He's made us in such a way that we fit perfectly with Him. And yet, in so many times, we try to live our life without Him, thinking that we're trying to find other things that will fit with us, and that we always end up getting disappointed. But here He is waiting for us, and if we would just come together with Him, is a perfect fit. What we've been looking for all of our lives with these things. And Jesus is the prime example of that, of giving Himself completely to God's will. In fact, this morning we're going to take a look at a very famous story about Jesus praying and coming to that conclusion. One of the great gurus in the prayer movement contemporary is a man named Richard Foster. Richard Foster is a very cool guy. He's got a nice long ponytail, and he's written a great book called Celebration of the Disciplines. In fact, he's written quite a few books, but you could really focus in on that, all of that. And one of the things that Richard Foster tells about, he says he talks about a retreat that he went on. And on this retreat, as they were going to pray and talk about God and God's place in their life, he said one of the men on the retreat early on said, "Well, I need to just say, I'm really not one of you." That was his way of kind of saying, "I'm really not a believer. I really don't understand this." Richard Foster said, "Fine, you're welcome to be here. We're glad that you're here. Just enjoy this weekend and learn what you can." And when they came to the very end of the retreat, this man stepped forward and he said, I just want to ask you, how can I know God the way that you know God? I want to know him. I want him to be part of my life. I want to open myself up to him. Could I become one of you?" Richard Foster said it was kind of a quiet moment. People were standing there and no one quite knew how to respond. And a young man kind of walked over and put his hands on this man and said, "Let me pray for you." And what he prayed was very unusual because he prayed a commercial, okay? He prayed a commercial about something called Nest Tea. There was a commercial a number of years ago that was kind of a famous commercial, and this young man prayed this commercial. Well, do you want to see it? Okay, well, here's what he prayed, all right?
"Folks, we've got ourselves a heat wave.
When the heat is hard to take, cool it down and take a break. Take the nesty cup.
Only Nestea's unique blend makes iced tea this refreshing.
How many of you remember that commercial, right? There was a whole bunch of those commercials, right? That just this whole idea of just, in the midst of all your this hot, sweltering day, or what all the work that you were doing, that there was refreshment available. There was a place that you could just let yourself go and just relax and fall back and just trust completely that there was going to be refreshment there for you with all of that. And that's what this young man prayed. You know, sometimes we think that coming to God, coming to surrender our lives to God is going to be some kind of a difficult, like we're signing up for, like we're going to be put in prison for the rest of our life, and somehow we're giving up all of our freedom and giving up all of the joy and the fun of life and some of these things. And he says, "I'm just praying that you'll just completely give yourself to God. And as you just fall back and put your trust in him, guess what you'll find out? That he's the refreshment that you've been looking for. He's what will satisfy all your needs and your hurts and your health. That he'll be there for you. Just trust him. Just take the plunge and give yourself completely to him." Well, this morning, we're going to talk about what it means to give ourselves completely to him. And we're going to take a look at all this prayer of relinquishment. And today, where we learn it is we go to the School of Gethsemane. And so if you'd like to follow along with us, you've seen this famous picture, Jesus in the garden. People have seen this all around the world for many, 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 many reasons. This morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 22. We're going to read these verses about what happened there the night that Jesus was arrested. He's just spent his Last Supper with his disciples. He's washed their feet. He's served them the bread and the cup. He's talked to them. They've gone out now to pray, and trouble is coming. This is Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 46. Here, this is God's word to us this morning. "Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives." There, the little word "usual," kind of pops up. Pastor Leslie last week reminded us that Jesus made time every day, made time regularly. He was always in communication with his heavenly Father, that he really did, that he was there. So as usual, he went out to the Mount of Olives. His disciples followed him, and on reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." Well, that's a very interesting instruction, isn't it? That sometimes, the battles and the struggles that we face in life, really what we need to do to be prepared for the trouble that comes to us is to pray. Let's look at verse 41. He, Jesus, withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, and he knelt down and he prayed. Here's what he prayed, verse 42. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Well, what cup is he talking about? He's talking, the cup is, you know, is what's ahead for him that evening, that day, the crucifixion that's going to come, the terrible, the brutality of what's going to happen, all the that he's going to become the sacrifice for all the sins of all the people of the earth, that he's going to give his life for all of us. He's basically saying to the Father, Father, if you're willing, don't make me go through this. Take this off my job responsibility list. Isn't there another way to do this? He says, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And that's probably the key phrase in all of this passage. Jesus comes to the point with all the struggle. He says, it's not what I want to do that matters. It's what you want to do. And so, God, I'm saying, you know, your will be done, even through my life. And then verse 43, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Quite interesting, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, when we're going through some of the hardest things in our life, God often will send people to us. Have you noticed that when you need it most, they'll just show up? Maybe they'll give you a phone call. Maybe they'll be there, and they'll just come alongside. God doesn't want you to go through things alone. He'll send people alongside you to help you, to encourage you. And he sent an angel here to be with Jesus. Verse 44, he says, and being in anguish, this wasn't easy for Jesus, that word anguish. You know, this wasn't like, oh, it's just another day in the life of the Messiah. We'll just step forward and, you know, to give our lives, give my life to him and be crucified. No, he's in anguish as a fully human being, as the God-man, anguish. He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Some people say, well, that's probably one of these exaggerations in the Bible. But there is a condition by which your capillaries, under great stress and pressure, your capillaries can actually excrete blood that comes out through your perspiration pores, through your pores. So very, very much this does happen. So Jesus really is sweating drops of blood. That's how much pressure he's under. Verse 45, and when he rose from the prayer, he went back to the disciples and he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. And isn't that sometimes what we do? We're so overwhelmed by the situation, so disappointed by what's going on. Jesus has just told them what was going to happen, that he was going to be leaving, that he was going to be arrested, and he was going to be crucified, and they're so overwhelmed by this, all they want to do is just go to sleep. Is that your go-to method, right? When things get bad, right? Just pull the covers up over, or just like say, I can just withdraw from all of this. So when Jesus needed his disciples most, they chose to sleep. And when he went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. And he said, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you'll not fall into temptation. This is God's word to us today. Quite a story, isn't it? Let's see where it can take us and what we can learn about what God wants to teach us about what it means to pray like Jesus. Well, number one, we see Jesus praying here. I guess we could focus in on the sleeping disciples, but if you were here last week, Pastor Leslie talked about how we're not to be falling asleep. We're to be watchful and thoughtful and to be looking, you know, in our prayer life to be kind of looking forward with all of these things. And so get on the video on the website. You can look at Pastor Leslie's message last week and we can talk about what it means for us to stay awake and really be attuned to what God wants to do for us. But here today we see Jesus really in anguish. If you read all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell this story. And Matthew even says that Jesus went back three times. He came out and found his disciples asleep. He woke them up again, went back and prayed some more, came back. They're still asleep, woke them up, back and forth. This wasn't just a quick moment in Jesus' life. He was really struggling over this. And what was happening? Jesus wasn't getting his prayer answered the way he wanted it. Did you ever think about this? You know, you've thought about your prayers that don't get answered. I've thought about the prayers that I pray that God doesn't seem to answer, and I kind of wonder, God, why are you doing this to me? You know, why can't you resolve the situation and take this away from me and make something better happen for me? Jesus is right here in front of us. We're seeing what he's going through. He's praying, said, Father, if there's another way, could you take this cup away from me? And God's answer to him is, no. No, this is the plan. This is the plan of redemption. This is how the world's going to be saved. Jesus is probably saying, but I could live so much longer. Look, you let Moses live to 120, and Noah got to live to 600. Why do I have to die at age 33? I've got so much. We can heal so many more people. I can preach so many more sermons. I could do all the, you know, you could just hear him kind of saying, you know, we could do so much good this way. And God's saying, no. The plan is, it's always been, for you to come to lay down your life as the sacrifice. You're going to be the Lamb of God for all the people. And through you, the people will be saved, all people of the world. So put your trust in me and follow me. Do what I ask you to do. So Jesus is tempted like us. He's tempted to get away from something that's going to be painful and costly. He knew that his enemies were going to be attacking him. He knew that this was going to be the roughest 24 hours of his life. And he's asking God for help. You know, I like the next picture a little bit better. This is probably more realistic. That other picture, Jesus looks so pretty and got so nice. He looks like he's just like getting ready to go out on a night on the town. But guess what? He's really in anguish. He's really struggling. And that really is the battle with us, isn't it? Some of the reasons that we keep our prayers at such superficial, such shallow levels is that we often don't really get into the real deep stuff. We don't really ask God about what's really going on, the things that we really struggle with. Because we often want it our way. And God, you know, good prayer is us talking about what we want and listening to what God tells us what he wants for us. And working that whole thing out. You know, the truth is, I want to be in control of my life. And yet God wants to speak into my life through his word and say to me, Jack, here's what I want you to do. Here's how I want you to live. Here's what I want you to in this relationship, how I want you to work this out. Here's how I want you to give yourself and invest yourself in these ways. And I'm like, no, hold on. You know, we want to be in control of our lives in these things. And so, I guess when we see this, you know, we see that what God ultimately wants is for us to trust him enough that his way, we would trust that his way is the right way for us, that we could really, you know, believe in him. Now, in theory, I bet you're with me, in theory, we all want to do God's will, right? We're all in favor of it. And I think, yes, I'm going to do God's will. And I'm very good with it until my will and God's will gets into some kind of conflict. That what God wants me to do is going to interrupt what I want to do. Or what I want to do isn't, you know, is God saying, no, that's not the way to go. And then the battle lines get drawn, and I start having this debate with God about, no, I can really do this. No, this will be all right. And on and on, we go with all these things. And then somebody says self-deception takes over. I begin to convince myself that what I'm doing is better for myself than what God wants to do in my life. And we come to the point where we have to yield. We have to surrender and say, God, your way is the right way. And here's what I'd say to all of you who've been in that situation. I mean, you've been there, right? You've had these struggles with, you know, I know what God wants me to do, but I'd rather do this. And, you know, whether you're young or old, whatever, we're always caught in this battle. You know what? God says it's good to struggle. It's good for us to be in anguish. It's good for us to have this Gethsemane experience to kind of say, God, I got to figure this out. I don't know if I really can be obedient to you. Jesus had the free choice. I mean, think about it. Could he have walked away that night and said, no, I'm not doing this. I'll use my power. I'll get rid of these Roman soldiers and I'll clear the way out and I'm going to build my own kind of little kingdom here and make all this happen? That's what Satan wanted him to do. Remember back in the original temptations? When Satan took him out and said, hey, turn the bread into or turn the rocks into bread, and you know, do a little trick, and you'll get all these people to believe in you, because you know the angels will rescue you, and bow down before me, and I'll give you, you'll be the ruler of the whole world. And oftentimes that's the battle that goes on. I like this little visual I put up here for you. You know, when Satan speaks to us, the enemy speaks to us, he kind of frightens us, pushes us, confuses us about what we should do and where we should go, and discourages us. And yet when God speaks to us, what does he do? He leads us, he reassures us, he forgives us, he calms us, he says, come follow me. You know what Pastor Jerry read this morning? Come unto me, all you who are exhausted, all you who are overloaded, come to me and I'll give you rest. You know, put your trust in me and you'll see that you know, that I'm good. Our Bible heroes struggled as well. Our prayers sometimes are a genuine give and take with God, and we really work these things out. And we try our best to obey God. Now, most of us have some big moments in our life. We don't know what's coming. We don't know what's ahead for us. We're going to have some big moments where we have to decide, is it my way or is it God's way? And really what God wants us to do is to learn how to relinquish, how to let go and say, it's not going to be my way. God, I trust you enough that you'll take care of this whole situation and make all this happen. And so we let go. And we let go with hope. Not to kind of say, well, I give up. No, we say, God, I know who you are, and I trust you, and I will do what you want me to do because I believe that it's the right thing. It may be painful. It may be uncomfortable. It may be difficult. But God's going to bring us through it to the point that we really can know that his way is the right way. I've had a couple experiences like that in my life. I mean, big moments. Excuse me. Let me tell you about a couple, okay? I won't give you all the details because we'd be here too long. When I first, in my first 5 years in Youth for Christ, back I was 27 years old, someplace in there, we used to fund our organization because we would do a big outreach, a big event at Halloween time. We used to call it the Haunted House, okay? Some of the places now around the nurseries and other places are doing things like this now where you can take your kids and go through that. We were doing that a long time ago, long before they ever thought of this. We would take an old lumber yard or an old deserted house and turn it into a haunted house. And we would have it, you know, kind of walk through this whole thing. And we could have, over the course of, you know, a couple weekends in the Halloween season, we could have like 10,000 young people come through. And we would use it as a way to kind of help them know about Youth for Christ. And we would have a little message at the end, kind of a little video message, kind of say, well, you thought you were afraid of these things. Well, let's talk about what real fear is and how God can work. You know, it was kind of a way of attracting a lot of people. And it was pretty wild during Halloween to be open every night and have all these kids come through. Now, it also was a fundraiser for us. We charged $1.50 back in those days to come. And you know, guess what? It would pay almost for like a third of the budget. Well, guess what? I got the responsibility to kind of put this whole thing on. A lot of the other staff had departed. I was kind of holding things together. And we took an old lumber yard over on Larkfield Road in East Northport, and we began to turn it into this haunted mansion. I mean, that meant, you know, paying the rent and paying the insurance and hooking up the power from Loco and all the, you know, putting all these things together, put a sound system in and put this whole thing together. We put a lot of money into this whole thing because we knew we were going to get all these kids to come through. The town of Huntington had said, you know, come get permits from us and we'll send inspectors out and then you'll be able to open up. And so we got down, we were like a week away from being there when the inspectors came, and he walked through the whole place shaking his head. Oh boy, you know. Gives me a list of 73 things that we need to change. You know, yellow legal pad. Well, you know what? That night we stayed up all night. We worked on every one of those things. When he came back the next day, he was shocked. We'd done every one of those 73 things. And he said, well, and I was ready for him to just say, it's you got your permit. He said, there's a few more things. And he made a list, 42 more things. 40, like, where were these yesterday? You know, like, you know, you're just like, are you kidding me? So we stayed up again all night. We got all 42 done. And when he showed up the next day, he gave me a list of 25 more things that needed to be done. Now, some of my friends who were there with me, you know, they kind of said, Jack, listen, I think what the guy needs is he needs a little cash, okay? He needs a little incentive to kind of help move this thing along. I go, well, that's a bribe. And I'm sure God doesn't want us to be giving bribes to anybody. And they'd say, Jack, look, I know, you're from Ohio. You're from the Midwest. This is how, you know, but let us explain to you. You're in New York now, and this is the way things work in New York. If you want to get things done in New York, this is how you do it. I said, well, what do I do? Just hand him money? And they said, no. You put it in a white envelope, put like 520s in there, and you walk around, and when he's looking the other way, you just drop the envelope on the floor. And then when he turns around, I say, oh, did you drop this? Oh, he'll say, no. And I said, well, I didn't drop it. It must be yours. And you reach out and you pick it up and you just hand it to him. And then all the lists will go away. Wow. You know, I would have, in my earlier life, I would have never considered doing that. But now I had almost $10,000 invested in insurance and electrical and sound system and everything else. And I was supposed to open in like 3 or 4 days. And if we didn't open, we were going to not only lose all that money, we were going to lose all the money that was going to come in from all the kids who weren't going to come now. Do you understand about being under pressure? Said Jesus sweat, drops of blood. Well, every morning I was getting in my car and driving to the work site. I'd get out of the car on Pulaski Road and get out and throw up and vomit on the side of the road because I was so torn up inside, like, what am I supposed to do? I'd go home and try to pray at night. God, are you here? Do you want me to do this? You know, I'm doing this because this is what this is how we're trying to do this to kind of give your name out and to build Youth for Christ and everything else. My friends would say to me, Jack, don't be stupid, okay? I mean, we're only talking like $100. You give them $100 and that'll secure that you'll get $30,000 back in income. Don't miss it. Come on. Don't be dumb about all this. Boy, prayer. Say, God, what's your will in all of this? As I prayed about it, I just said, I think the Lord says, no, we got to do it the right way. But it was a battle. It was a fight. Some of you have been in situations like that where it's really been on the line. You know, what is really God's will in all these things? I have to tell you, the man from the town never asked me for a bribe, okay? He never solicited that in any way. I decided when he came the final time that I wasn't going to drop the envelope. We walked around one more time. He said, well, he said, I got to say, it's pretty remarkable. You've done everything I've asked you to do. But I have to make a decision. My decision is, no, you can't open. And he turned and walked and got in his car. When I walked back, my friends who were standing there who'd been helping me put all this thing together, they started kicking the walls of the building, started cursing and everything else. And they're just like, oh, Jack, you're so stupid, you know, but... And I went upstairs. We kind of built a little loft up there, and we had our sound system controls up there, and we'd put a phone in, and it was the old, phone on the wall. Only my office and my wife had the number that I knew about. And I basically went up there and said, God, I don't get it. I came here. I stayed here. I did all this because I thought you wanted me to be here. I just made the decision not to bribe this guy because I thought that was the right thing to do, and now look where it's gotten me. Look at the trouble I'm in now. I said, if you're going to do anything, you better do it pretty soon. Maybe in the next 15 minutes before we start tearing this place apart and I start running for cover, you know. You know, in that 15 minutes, the telephone rang. And I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. I picked up the phone and said, hey, is this Jack? And I go, yeah. He says, This is gave his name. He says, I'm the Ken Butterfield. I'm the supervisor of the town of Huntington. Remember, you were over here and you told us about that Halloween project for the kids to go to. How's that going? And I said, well, you really want to know? I told him the story. He said, that doesn't sound quite right. I'm going to send another guy out tomorrow, and we're going to look this whole thing over. And he came out the next day, opened it up. He said, look, everything looks great. You know, we're going to go with this. We opened it up. We were open for 2 weeks. We had thousands of kids there. It was a huge success. And I thought to myself, isn't that amazing? I mean, that God really heard our prayers and came through in that moment. I'll tell you one more thing. This is the scariest part of the story. The Sunday after the Halloween thing was over, I was scheduled to speak at a church in Huntington. So I went, I'd gotten the directions, and I said, go to the church, and if you go to the side door, the usher will be there, and he'll take you to the pastor's office. They'll get you ready to come and speak in the church. And I went, and I opened the door, and the usher was standing there. Do you know who the usher was? It was the inspector from the town of Huntington. He looked at me and said, what are you doing here? I said, well, I was going to ask you the same question, because I thought you'd come from hell. I didn't know you were an usher in the church, right? You know, like, oh, boy. I got to watch my language, right? He walked me back to the pastor's office, and I have to tell you, my legs were shaking so badly, because all the way down that hallway, I was thinking to myself, what if I had offered this guy a bribe? What would I have to say today in the church, knowing that he'd be sitting out there, and he'd be going, I know who you are. You can talk all you want about God, but, you know, I know who you are. Thank you, Lord, right? God gets us through these things. Now listen, let me say, okay, I got a very quick answer. When that phone rang, nobody to this day has been able to ever determine how the town supervisor got our number and how he called me at that time at that place. But God worked it out, okay? Some of you are in situations like that where you've done everything that you know how to do and it's still not working out. And you're tempted to kind of say, well, I don't know, maybe I'll go and do what. Guess what? God wants to work in our lives. He wants us to trust him. I have another situation that I won't tell you about because I don't have the time, where I went through a whole year of being kind of out of a job, you know, kind of almost, they decided that they wanted somebody else to lead Youth for Christ, but they wanted me to stay there until when they found somebody else. And I went through a whole year of kind of saying, God, what are you doing? Is this your will for me? And it was just agony for all of that. And some of you have been in those situations where it's gone on for a year or even more that you've kind of been wondering, where is God? I'm praying, but I'm not getting any answers with all these things. Well, guess what? God comes through at the end of that year too. And he'll come through in your situation. And he'll come through in these big situations that you've been through. So this morning, I think what I want to say to you as we wrap all this up, the same way that Jesus prayed there in the garden, it's really about, God, it's not my will that I want to do. It's about your will. I don't want it to be my way. I want to be connected to you. I want to know what it is that you want to do with my life. And I want to surrender my life to you. And you show me how to live, where you want to take me, what you want to do, how you want to use my gifts, how you want to take my resources, how you want to use the time and the energy that you give me to really make a difference in this world, to really to speak for you and to live for you. I mean, that's what really prayer is all about. We have these big moments, but it's basically day by day, we're just saying to God, show me today where you want me to go. Show me the people that I work with. Show me in the decisions I have to make, the words that are going to come out of my mouth. And God's just saying, just trust me. Just follow. Just do what I want you to do. And God will lead us through with all these things. So I'm going to challenge you this morning. I'm going to challenge you to surrender yourself to God's will. To surrender yourself and to say, I want to know God in a deeper way. I want to pray not just for things that God can give me. I want to pray and say, God, come into my life and fill me up. Be my Savior and show me the way. So if you really want to have a deep, personal, satisfying peace of mind and heart and your soul, I mean, this is what we've been studying about here with prayer is this is what we've got to do. We've got to surrender control of our life totally to God. How do you know that you've done that? Well, the evidence of a surrendered life is obedience. When we surrender to God, when God says do it, we do it. Even though sometimes we don't understand it, and even though other people aren't doing it, even though it looks like it's impossible, or it looks really hard, when we really trust God, when we surrender our lives, we just say, okay, God, you want me to do this? I'll do it. No matter what everybody else is saying. So the problem is that we're afraid to do this, okay? We're afraid to let go and let God. I like this little picture, one guy holding one little seed. If this is the only seed you have, you'd say, are you kidding me? Put this in the ground? Then I won't have my seed. You know, so I'm going to hold on to this whole thing. And you can hold on to what you've got because you know it's right there. I'm going to keep this seed with all that. But what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to take the seed. You're supposed to put it in the ground and cover it up and let it die. Because when you do that, what's going to happen? A new plant's going to grow. And out of it will come 20 seeds, 40 seeds, 100 seeds, more than we ever dreamed possible. And in this situation, you know, we tend to, in our lives, to hold on to what we have, the situation that we have, the education that we have, the income that we have, the comfort that we have in our life. We say, well, maybe this is enough. But God says, no, surrender all that to me. Just let me be in charge of everything in your life. And if you'll do that, It'll. I promise you, I will bless you. I will expand your life like you never dreamed ever before. So when we listen to God's word and follow his directions, the result is always the same. God gives us peace in our heart. When I'm faced with situations now and I kind of wonder, you know, how am I going to get through this? My wife always reminds me. She says, Jack, have you forgotten about that God who helped you out at the haunted house? Have you forgotten about that God who is with you in all these situations? Have peace, have trust, trust in him with all these things. Let's go to the next. Today, you may be in a very uncomfortable situation. You may be married to an unchangeable person. You may be experiencing an unexplainable problem. But the good news is that you can have the peace of God. How can you have it? You know, what do you do to make peace with God? Well, the scripture is very clear, okay? It says that we're to surrender our entire life by faith to Jesus. I like what Romans says. It says, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. If we're tired of being at war with God, kind of being, you know, his way and our way, kind of, you know, back and forth, the greatest single source of stress in your life is kind of trying to be in control of your own life. What is it when we try to run our own life? What do we live with? Worry and guilt and bitterness and resentment and anxiety and fear and fatigue and depression and despair. But when we surrender our life, when we put Christ first in our life, what is it produced in our life? When we plant that seed and really believe in him, God gives us peace and power and strength and wisdom and purpose and meaning and eternal life and significance and joy. Doesn't always come easily. It isn't always there. But he promises to do this for us. Would you like that in your life? Here's a prayer that we can pray. You might even pray it with me if you want. Make it your prayer. Dear Father, you know how I have resented the problems in my life. And you know that I've resisted the things that have caused me pain and that I can't change. You know that I've asked you many times for an explanation, but it never comes. Today, I want to stop fighting you over things that I don't understand. Forgive me, Lord. I want to begin the path of personal peace. So I'm asking for your help. Help me to change the things that I can and help me to accept the things that cannot be changed. Help me, Jesus, to trust in your loving care when things don't make sense. Help me to trust that you are a good God, that you have my best interest at heart. Today, I make an unconditional surrender of all my life to your loving care and control. Please give me your strength and wisdom and peace and purpose through Jesus Christ. Amen.